So, but I would like to go back to this wave and ocean thing, mm-hmm. and your story, because I read that in
you read
I didn't read very much.
That's good.
But just in your mid-20s, you had like depression, and yeah. you were in deep pain. And what I'm really interested in is, what happened? I mean, what happened that you are in this condition now? Did you understand suddenly something, or what happened? Did you watch your waves and accepted them? Or,
oh no.
Or what happened?
Well, that's what I was trying to do. Because I've been depressed my whole life, and like painfully shy, and just hated myself, and I hated everything. I mean, I was just a mess, and
I'm asking this because yeah. I know so many people are stuck in some pain, and
yeah.
like,
yeah.
how did you get out of it?
Well, so I tried to get out of it,
mm-hmm. and that didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
I wanted to get the wave.
I wanted
to
escape.
To disappear.
Yeah, well, exactly. I was in so much pain and mm-hmm. sadness and mm-hmm. and darkness and. I wanted so badly to escape, like, go away, fear, go away, pain. And they kept on coming back, you know.
Because you didn't want to accept them.
I didn't want to accept them. Well, I tried to, that's what I was trying, you know, I was trying to accept them, actually. You know, I started to do a lot of practices where I would, I'm going to accept
okay.
pain, I'm going to accept fear.
Spiritual practice.
Yeah, spiritual
practice. Okay.
I did a lot of spiritual practice.
Like meditation.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just sit and I would try to accept, you know, all these waves that I didn't like or I didn't want. And sometimes I felt I could accept them, and sometimes I really just, I can't accept this. And then I would feel like a failure, I would feel like mm-hmm. a huge failure. Why can't I accept, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading all these spiritual books, and, you know, the image of the perfect guru.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can accept everything.
Who was your perfect guru?
Oh, I mean, I had...
You had a whole bunch?
I had, yeah, I mean, I read so many books, you know, like Ramana Maharshi and Krishnamurti and... It's like a Dharma Maharaj. I mean, all sorts of. But I always had this image that they're like the perfect person, you know,
yes.
and they can accept everything.
I
and then,
that image too.
Yeah, well, everybody does, you know, everyone does.
So we should change that.
Well.
So
well,
this interview is about changing the image of those masters.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, in a way, there's nothing wrong with the image. It's when we start comparing.
We make the image.
We make the image. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we start comparing ourselves with the perfect image.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, ultimately, we don't really know what he was experiencing. We don't really know. I can never know someone else's experience. I can imagine. I can imagine what they're experiencing. Oh, I can imagine, oh, he has the perfect life, and he's in bliss all the time, and he's at peace all the time. And then I look at this.
And there's no peace.
And there's no, and I'm always seeking that, always seeking the image.
Right.
I think this is wrong, but
right.
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always like rejecting this, and then trying to become this image that I've read about, or I've heard about. It's, that's the conditioning. The image is the conditioned mm-hmm. mind, you know. So that, I mean, that's what I was doing. I was trying to make myself into the image of, you know. Basically, I was trying to get rid of. Well, I realize now I was trying to get rid of the waves.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was trying to get rid of the painful waves. I was trying to get rid of the dark waves, the negative waves. You know, because that was my conditioning. That
mm-hmm.
some waves are bad, some waves are negative. You know, that's what I've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what my parents taught me. And like, you know, that.
Did they say you have to be happy, or we don't want you to look sad, or what did they say?
My parents.
Yeah.
I think it was never explicitly.
Okay.
They never explicitly you should, but
it was
you know, it was yeah, like you know, like people like there were. I'm not blaming them, you know.
No
blame because it was perfect. I realize now it was perfect what happened, you know. But this for me, yeah, and for them as well, I guess. I mean, they were doing their best. Right.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Of course they were. They were just doing their best. They're innocent.
Yes.
But you know, when you're a child and you feel angry and you express it, and then your parents say, you know, shouldn't mm-hmm. feel angry, or you're in pain, and then they try to fix you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they.
So you wouldn't cry anymore.
Yeah, it's like being fixed. Everyone's like trying to fix you. You shouldn't feel that, or it's bad to feel that, or you feel sad, and they try and make you happy. So then you start to learn, oh, something wrong with sadness. Oh, I should be happy, you know. And then you learn about opposites. Oh, so happiness is the opposite of sadness. Sadness is negative and happiness is positive. And, but that's the conditioning. That's the conditioning. And we never really stop to look for ourselves.
Yeah, but then what happened? Did you...
Okay, yeah.
Did you...
Back to the story.
...recognize that it's just the conditioning, and then suddenly you...
Well, I think I became... exhausted. I think I was trying so hard,
yeah.
so long to become enlightened or to get rid of the waves or however you want to say. I was trying so hard to sit in meditation and be present, allow, you know. It was exhausting. I mean, because I was obsessed. I mean, mm-hmm. I think because my pain was so intense, because my suffering was so intense, I became like an obsessed with enlightenment. I was mm-hmm. totally. I mean, I just stayed in my room for about a year. I mean, I shut the world off. It was like, I have to become enlightened, mm-hmm. or I will kill myself. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, really, it was like, obsessive.
And what happened?
Well,
is it a sudden understanding?
Well, it was, it's hard to talk about in a way, because it seems so long ago. I just became so exhausted. I was so exhausted with... escaping. I was so exhausted with trying to become enlightened. It got to the point I didn't even know what I was looking for.
Okay.
You know, I didn't even know anymore what I wanted. I was just so exhausted and I was so intellectual mm-hmm. as well. It's like, okay, I'm going to get rid of the self, but who's going to get rid of the self? And
mm-hmm.
the self, but trying to get rid of the self, that is the self. And I'm no one, but I don't exist, but I do exist.
But that you read in books.
Oh yeah, there's all the stuff I'd read, I don't exist, and there's no one.
Yeah.
And then trying to work it all out, and it was confusion, exhaustion.
Yeah.
So, it was really at my lowest point, I think. I was just totally exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I was exhausted with the whole thing, and, I mean, I guess I've told this story before about one day I was lying on my bed just exhausted, fed up, you know, I'm never going to be enlightened, and I'm never going to be enlightened, and I can't accept anything, and I'm a complete, you see, I failed in the world, and I failed in the spiritual world, so I'm double failure.
That's the worst failure.
Oh, but you know, hallelujah.
And then?
Well, then nothing really happened. I mean, it was. That's the thing. When I talk about it, it sounds like this big event.
No,
actually, it was a very simple.
Yeah.
Simple recognition.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
Are you waiting? Well, that's the end of the interview. I'm going home now.
Okay. You are the master.
I mean, the simple way of saying it is I just recognized. I was looking at a chair. It was in my bedroom. I was looking at a chair, and just suddenly it was this very simple recognition. I was like, that's it.
It's just a chair.
Well, it's a chair, but it's also oneness. It's the mm-hmm. ocean. It's wholeness. It's like everything I was looking for: oneness, wholeness, consciousness, blah blah. But I've been looking for it
mm-hmm.
in the future,
mm-hmm.
out there. Like it could, like it can't be this. I mean, that was like mm-hmm. what went to the root of all my sequence. It's
mm-hmm.
not this.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be this. This mm-hmm. is this is nothing. This is chairs and bodies and you know. And sadness and pain and fear. It's like I've been trying my whole life really to escape this. And then it was just this very simple recognition that it's a chair, but it's not really a chair. It's wholeness. It's oneness. I mean, the words are silly, really. You know, it's kind of even to talk about it. It sounds a bit silly because it's too simple. I mean, it's just too simple to talk about. It's oneness appearing as a chair and a carpet and a body but it's also there in, you know, the thoughts, the sensations. It's like that's the ocean as well. Like it's all inclusive. Like it's radically all inclusive. So all the waves that I've been trying to run away from, that was it. Those waves were the ocean. You know, it's like radically all inclusive.
But the waves are still there.
But they're still there. That's the difference. You see, my ideas about awakening and enlightenment, they were all wrong, actually.
So isn't that the waves are still there, but you are in this moment you just concentrated on the chair and not on the waves? Is it the concentration? Is it on what we concentrate in every moment?
It's like I was saying before, it's just recognizing that what's appearing now is it's already allowed to be here.
But in that simple silent moment, the wave chair appeared.
Well, it was more like it was a recognition that I'm not Jeff, basically.
Okay.
Who I really am is this space. The space in which it's the ocean. It's the ocean in which all the waves are allowed, like thoughts are allowed, sensations are allowed, feelings are allowed. All of this is allowed. But even the story of Jeff, you know, the story of Jeff, past, future, Jeff looking for something, Jeff isn't complete, there's something wrong with Jeff, Jeff is going to find something, Jeff is going to become enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
It was like recognizing that story that Jeff is going to become enlightened, or I am Jeff and I'm going to become enlightened, that's not really who I am. Who I am is just it's just this space, call it consciousness or awareness, it doesn't matter what words you use. And that's what I realized as well, is that, oh my god, all these words. Because I've been exhausting myself trying to keep consciousness, but there's awareness and there's being and there's presence and there's allowing and there's source and there's spirit and there's oh my god, it was all just and it was just realizing, oh my god, they're just words, all of it. It doesn't need to be understood. I think that's what was really so
But then, or now, or after you had this moment of understanding, or the chair moment.
The chair moment.
The waves of sadness or depression or whatever, we're still there, right?
Okay, so yeah, I think this is what people misunderstand sometimes. So we love this idea of the awakening story. We love it. You know, we love this story that someone, one day they become awakened, they have a chair moment, and suddenly all their suffering is gone, never comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And that, we love that story because that's part of the seeker. Like in a way we.
But it's not. It's not.
Well, that's a misunderstanding.
Yes,
yeah,
this
a misunderstanding.
Moment is a misunderstanding. That's why I'm asking.
For yeah. So I think that's I think.
That's why I'm asking. Are the waves are still there?
So the way this is the difference, that it wasn't that the waves went away.
Right.
It was that the waves were seen that they were. I mean, I realize this now. It's taken me years to be able to realize
what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's not that the waves disappear, because the ocean doesn't want the waves to disappear, because
right.
The ocean
okay.
is the waves.
Okay.
So the waves don't disappear. The waves, that they're just seen as being. They're allowed in the ocean. They're allowed to come and go,
okay.
Because ultimately there are no ocean
okay.
waves and ocean. It's
okay.
You can't really. It's all one. You can't speak about
okay.
it. The ocean is the waves. The ocean is the. So I think a lot of people struggle with this, because I think a lot of people, they have, you know, a similar awakening experience. You know, that they have a chair moment, or something similar, or an awakening experience, or an enlightenment experience. But then in a way, they expect the waves to not come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people get very confused. See, then they start to believe that they're enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
Secretly, the waves are still coming.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know what to do with them. It's like that. A lot of people, you know, they suffer more after they've had an awakening experience because they expect all the expectations of awakening, all the expectations.
Okay.
They expect that the waves won't come back.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, the waves are the ocean. They have to come back. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
They have to. They can't disappear. Mm-hmm. That's the myth. So I was really confused for a while,
mm-hmm.
after that, you know, because that's what I expected as well. But then, of course, what started to happen was the waves come back, you know, especially if you're involved in life, you know, if you're involved
mm-hmm.
in relationships and
right.
going to work. I mean, you're
yeah.
not going to escape.
Right.
The way, I mean, if you want to, go and live in a cave,
yeah.
and then you might be able to escape.
Yeah.
But then, even then, you wouldn't escape, because they still come back, because right. they're allowed in what you are.
Yeah, but everyday life is like
Yeah. But I think what this chair moment, I think it gave me this kind of profound, like kind of a deep realization. Like I knew on the deepest level now
mm-hmm.
that every wave was allowed,
mm-hmm.
of course. But then I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you forget that. You know.
And then you remember. Mm-hmm.
But I think once that chair thing, and that was a kind of, after that I kind of knew,
mm-hmm.
I knew it really changed things, because I just mm-hmm. knew then that life was not about escaping
mm-hmm.
waves anymore. You know, I knew that was a lie. I knew on the deepest level that every thought, every feeling, every sensation was allowed. I knew it. And then, you know, I would forget it, then I would come back to it. But so that's and then, for a while, I had this story that I was enlightened, because I had the chair thing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the ocean,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's... And then I wanted to hold on to that, like, as an image. That's who I am, I'm the enlightened one.
Yeah.
And then you try and hold on to that, and then that gets... It's like, in a way, life is constantly, it's like, destroying all your ideas of yourself. You know, it's constantly just, even your image, your story that you were enlightened, that won't last.
Yeah.
Because it's life is saying, no, this is it. It's not,
mm-hmm.
it's here. It's not, I'm enlightened. It's this, you know.
Is it like always, we as human beings always get into this duality, and really there is no duality?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what you want to say.
Yeah. We want to have a story about ourselves. I'm this, I'm that, I'm
yeah.
a happy person, I'm an enlightened person.
Yeah.
Or even, I mean, it can get very clever. I'm
mm-hmm.
I have no self.
Mm-hmm.
I have no ego. It's still an image. Like, we want to hold on to an image of who we are. Or I'm a successful person.
I decided if you would start about talking, there's no me and there's no whatever.
You would punch me.
I decided to say, this is too intellectual for me.
Yeah.
This is too, maybe, male. I need
yeah.
something that goes more into, like, talk to my
yeah.
emotional system that
yeah.
I understand better. And you did that today.
Well, I think...
You didn't do this, because I interviewed lots of satsang people that are talking about that there is no me, like,
yeah,
who are you talking to?
That's easy to understand. I mean,
yeah, but to me, it never
no,
gets
no, no.
into
yeah,
my
no,
mind.
I understand, But it's easy to say, there's no me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's easy to say it.
Yeah.
And it's easy to believe it. There is no me, there is no me, there is no me. I am the, or, you know, I am the ocean, I'm the ocean. But the question is that being recognized? You know, is that
yeah.
And now, you know,
yeah.
otherwise it's just blah 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 blah. Otherwise it's just talking,
okay.
and that's what I understand. That's what I used to do. I used to. One of my beliefs was that there's no me. There's no me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, I realize now, it was just another mental belief.
You told it to yourself.
To myself, yeah. It was just something else for me to hold on to. There's no me.
Yeah.
Now I know who I am. There's, you know, I'm not a person.
Okay.
I know that. And then you separate yourself.
Okay.
I remember that very clearly. I believed that there was no me. So I felt special somehow.
Okay.
You know, I felt separate from you. Because I didn't realize at the time it was a belief. Because you don't, at the time you don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the beauty of life is that it becomes exhausting to hold up.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes more and more exhausting. Like in a way, the more you recognize who you are, the more difficult it becomes to pretend
mm-hmm.
to be something. It becomes more difficult. So even pretending that you're not a person, even pretending that there's no me, it becomes exhausting, you know.
Okay.
It becomes every image, you know, the image that there is a me or that there's no me. Who, I mean, really, it's all intellectual.
So is it maybe that we're all the people on Earth, let's say on Earth now, mm. are maybe just like a color of God? I mean, overall we're all God, but we are just a color from it.
Well, if we go back to the ocean and the waves again,
mm-hmm.
as my favorite
message. So is the ocean God for you?
Yeah, you could call it God, consciousness, awareness, presence,
okay.
being,
okay.
spirit, source, nothing, everything,
okay.
blah blah. I mean,
oh, okay.
it's whatever word.
That.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's it's all just one consciousness. So it's one consciousness, you know, expressing as the wave. So it's you know, ultimately, the way every wave has the same essence, but the appearance of the wave is different.
Different.
So a chair. Appears different to you know you,
mm-hmm.
but it's the same essence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
person appears different, but has the same essence.
Same essence. It's consciousness appearing. It's consciousness appearing. So on that level, I mean, that's that total humility.
Okay.
There's you have no way of separating yourself from anyone,
okay.
and that's love. That's love. It's not just telling yourself there's no me, there's no me, there's no, you know, that's just it can just be so mental.
Yes.
It's really recognizing.
I find it mental.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really.
What do you mean that's love? To see that it's all
the same essence.
Conscious, the uh-huh. same essence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's another word that I would use is unconditional love. It's like it's beyond our ideas of unconditional love because we cannot comprehend. You know, it's like we can't comprehend the ocean. We can't understand the ocean. We can only be it. You can only be it. You can't
okay.
understand it. But you could say that the ocean, you know, it unconditionally allows every wave. You know, it unconditionally allows it because
yes.
it doesn't have conditions. The ocean doesn't say that wave can appear, that wave can't appear. It's because it is every wave, which includes. All the stuff we don't want. It includes the fear, the pain, the sadness. It includes all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no war between light and dark. There's no war between half of the ocean is not at war with the other half of the ocean. That's a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And also the word non-duality. I mean, I don't use that word a lot anymore.
Okay.
Because that word is so misunderstood. Non-duality. So the people hear not duality.
Mm-hmm.
Not duality, but then that is duality. I mean, that's like the most dualistic
mm-hmm.
thing of all.
So use the word whole.
Wholeness. I talk a lot about the ocean and the waves. I think it's a beautiful metaphor
because
you don't have to understand that. You know, everyone has that sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's always about. You know, it's not just intellectually understanding that everything is the ocean. So, you know, you can go to a satsang, you can go to a retreat, you can go meet a teacher and you hear, everything's consciousness, so now you believe everything's consciousness. Or you go to a satsang teacher and they say, there's no me, there's no me, there's no me. I say, there's no me, okay. Or a teacher says, everything's the ocean. I understand everything, okay. And then, you go home, and, you know, your kids are screaming, or your husband or your wife says something to you and it waves.
Mm-hmm. And you hate them.
Maybe, yeah. But then that
mm-hmm.
is the invitation. So don't, like, okay, so maybe an hour ago you saw the ocean. Maybe, you know, last week you saw the ocean, or 5 minutes ago you realized everything was great. But right now, who cares, really? This is the ocean too. You know, this is the invitation. That's why it's a living teaching. You can't ever stop and say, right, I've finished.
Mm-hmm.
That's what thought wants to do. It wants to say, finished. Mm-hmm. I've seen everything now. And then you become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to believe that you're, that I get it, and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's,
mm-hmm.
that's just part of the game as well, I guess.
Yeah.
It's
part of the teacher's game.
Yeah, I mean that's why I never wanted to be a teacher.
But it's you growing. I mean, you grow with those experiences.
Well, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I, you know, doing a meeting, you know, speaking in public. You know, when I've been doing this for about, 4 or 5 years or something. And the first meeting I did, I had never spoken in public before. I'd never done it before. I'd never been to a meeting before. I'd never been to a satsang. I'd never been to a retreat. I'd never even met a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was doing, you know, that was a new experience. I mean, I never really saw myself as a teacher. I never really identified. I guess I still don't. I don't really identify as being a teacher or an awakened. I don't identify as that. But yeah, I mean, certainly that's been a real adventure for the past few years. Is, you know, sitting in front of, you know, 20, 30, 40, you know, 100 people sometimes, and well, really, the way I talk about this has changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
In a few years, it's really changed. I mean. You know, yeah, if we had done this interview 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I would probably be sitting here and saying, yeah, there's no me,
okay.
There's no you.
I was prepared for that.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I mean, it became in line to me.
Well, I think it's, in a way, there's...
And also then there's nothing to
happen. If it's not alive, I mean, there is no me. If that's really being recognized, if you really understand what that's pointing, it can be beautiful.
Yeah.
If it's alive, it's beautiful. But otherwise, if it's just mental and it's dead,
mm-hmm.
it's just blah. There's no me. Blah blah. Who cares? I mean.
Well, I really connect to this unconditional acceptance of who you are or what you do. This really connects.
With yeah.
This just, I'm allowed to just be.
Absolutely.
This is something very beautiful
yeah.
for everybody, I think. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.